Okay, we are picking up five lines from the bottom of Yudalad Amud Beis with the words of Tashma. Again, the Gemara is still trying to bring proofs that Beis Shammai did, in fact, keep to their shita. They didn't just hold like it in practice, in theory, but really in practice, they actually held of their shita. So says the Gemara now, Tashma, another raya, Damar Biyochan Ben Nuri, Hayach halacha zur avachas b'Yisrael. How should we say that this halacha, if you have a taras erva, again, Reuben and Shimon, and Reuben was married to Shimon's daughter, Rachel, and also had Leah, so Leah was a taras erva, and now Reuben dies without any children, and so both Rachel and Leah are going to go before Shimon. Leah not related, and Rachel was the daughter of Shimon. So both, in that example, both of them would be Pater according to Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai again, according to Beis Shammai, that would be Chayav and Yibum Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Nasek, if we're gonna permit Yibum to, Leah, who's not related to Shimon, I hope I'm using the same examples, to Leah, who's not related to Shimon, Havlad Mamzer, Divi Beis Hillel, that is going to create a Mamzer Shaila because it's an Isser Karis according to Beis Hillel. Nasek, if Beis Hillel, we're gonna follow the opinion of Beis Hillel and allow a Tsaras Erva to be married without any Chalitza, meaning that, that Rachel, who's not related to Shimon whatsoever, according to Beis Sham, according to Beis Hillel, she's allowed to just get married to anybody she wants. However, according to Beis Shammai, she would be chayav to do Yibam or Chalitza in order to permit her. So that's going to be Havlad Pagum L'Divrei Beis Shammai. That child is going to be Pagum, as Rashi explains, to Imaya Kohen Pasul L'Kahuna. If this lady then goes in fact and marries a Kohen, that's going to create the Tsaras Erva, if she marries a Kohen without doing Chalitza, the children are going to be Chalalim. The children coming from there are going to be Chalalim, and the daughter would be a Chalala, and they'd be permitted to ask her to marry a Kohen. And if it was if she actually married a Kohen, the children also would be Chalalim, because that would be, apostling them from Kuna. Bo, Nisakin, Lahen Tsaras. So why don't we have a better idea for the Tsaras Erva? Turning on to the Xamana Tasavam Beis, what should they do? Shilchotos Velomis Yabnos. Why don't they do Chalitza and not Ibum, in which case you're going to follow both the Shita Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, because if you do Chalitza with Rachel to Shimon, again, is not related to her. Avad, everyone agrees that Shimon's daughter, Leah, in our example, is going to be Pater from Yibum Chalitza, everything. The Shaila is, what about Tsaras Erva? What about Rachel? So in our example now, Rachel, if she does Chalitza, she's going to be good according to the Kuli Alma. According to Beis Shammai, you fulfilled the obligation by doing Chalitza. According to Beis Hillel, you didn't really need Chalitza, but okay, as a Churma, she did Chalitza, then it would be Chal. So Yochanan and Yuri is trying to make up Shara between the two Shitas over here. So, and this Lechora was apparently the Chasdei David explains, this was done, before the Baskol in Erevin. Or maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri actually agrees with Rabbi Yeshua that we're not the Shomin LeBaskol to Paskin Halacha. So says Gemara, but still, even according to what happened to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Lo Yispiku Ligmar Sadavar Ad Shinitzarfa Hashah, that the Chachamim didn't manage to finalize the matter before the time was literally taken, that meaning that, in Shemayim, they, let him keep Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's proposal, because everybody should know that we follow Shitas Beis Hillel. There's no need for this proposal of the Pshara. So says the Gemara, Amar Lo Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Ma Naselem Matzaras Harishonas Me'ata. But if you make this Pshara, so what's going to be with those already done Yibum from now on? You're gonna make them Mamzerim, because you're gonna be paskuding that the Tsaras Erev is really Aser. You're allowed to only do Chalitza. Then Midarabanan, you're going to create this Takana. If it's a full-fledged Takana, then anybody who violated this Takana, even if it was retracted beforehand, they would be Mamzerim on a level at least of Derabanan. So says the Gemara now. So says the Gemara, Yamrit Bishlam Ma'asit. So now, what was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's response? So now, if you're going to tell me that people in Beis Shammai actually acted according to their Shita, and they actually performed Yibum, so now you're creating more Mamzerim, so then I understand that that's the Taras HaRishonos. Hainakar Manasseh, that's what Rabbi Gamliel is saying, what are we going to do with them? However, Ela Yamrit Lo'asit, so now we're finishing the proof that Beis Shammai in fact did according to their Shita. If they didn't do anything, my Manasseh, so what's the difference what they didn't act? If Beis Shammai followed the Halacha Beis Hillel in this case, then the Taras Erva is going to be no problem whatsoever. So says the Gemara, no, maybe this case is different. It's not a raya. Because Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, lo nitzricha ela letzaras atzma. No, we're actually talking about the actual tzara herself, as Rashi explains. Letzaras of Beis Hillel, that would marry without having done yibum. So then we're talking about, according to this understanding right now, that if they did in fact did it, Rav Shimon Gamliel is concerned for the Tsaras who married without having done Chalitza. their descendants would not be mamzerim. Yochanan and Miri would nevertheless create a problem for the tzaras, as the Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara says, "Umanas sehachikamar." This was the means. Hanach tzaras to Beit Hillel. The tzaras of Beit Hillel who remarried without chalitza being done, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Miri had suggested. LeBeis Shammai hechinavid lehu. According to Beis Shammai, what are you going to do them? Lichlatu. They should now do chalitza, meaning afterwards. Now again, we're talking about when they denominate, they're going to make a formal takana. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Miri, this is what Shimon Gamliel was bothered by. You're going to make a formal takana. So what are the ones who already got remarried without having done chalitza or yibum because they followed Beis Hillel? So you're going to say that they should do chalitza from now on because they should keep the takana to Rabbanan. Who's still mimasu akav raya? They're going to be repulsive according to the discussing according to their husbands because they're going to make them chalitza. He's going to think he married her, but Isser, and the whole time he's going to feel terribly about it, and that's not good. That's not good. Shalom bias. So let's say, what's the problem? Let them become repulsive. Let them, that's not a halachic concern. Who cares? So Gemara says, no, that if it's only a takana rabbanan that we're implementing, and we have the right to establish it, so that we know that the ways of the Torah are pleasant, and it's going to be a good way, shalom, it's happy and peace, that's not the way the Torah wants things to be done, and such a terrible thing, a strain on the marriage, for shalom bias, that's not shayach. This has halachic applications. Obviously, we learn it by hadassah, in there, why maybe it's a thorn bush. Gemara says, no, we use this principle. You have to know when to use it. But another point here is that the fact that there'll be this strain and that the husband will feel so terribly about it. Actually, there's a major, major coolness about this in regards to in Hilchos Nida. That if there's certain things that we assume that maybe we're choshesh for our chitzitza lechachila, but the Gemara with the post Gemara bring down a lot of times a concept called lansayim bailav. She already went to the mikvah and she already had relations. If it was before the relations, one thing, but if they had relations with the husband and now it's going to be a pagam on the child and also again a strain on the marriage. So then there are going to be b'di'evad. We're going to be a little bit more makel than we would have normally been lechachila. Because of this also, this is one of the considerations. There is a concept of also we don't want him to think that his child is pagum, they're having a nida, but that's also, this is part of this, the cheshbon, that we should realize that this is something that does exist. We do care very much about the strain and them being repulsive, and the fact that what happened was repulsive and a strain on the marriage is very important to Chazal when considering the takana. So, Zedigmar Vaita, Tashma. We'll bring another proof in the Braisa. Damar Betarfon. Okay, so that wasn't a good proof. So, we have another proof. Ta'avni, Masaita Votar Sabas Liadi Vesa Enar. Betarfon, who was actually from the Beishamite. That was a famous story in the Gemara in the beginning of Brachos. That Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagreed with Abba lying down, or Beit Tarfon lied down. They said, you are deserved to be Chayav Misa because you violated Beit Hillel's takana. That B'shach V'chamechav just means the nighttime and daytime, doesn't mean actually lying down and when you're standing up. So the Gemara says now, Tiviyadi Masa Yitav Tzara Zabaz Liadi V'Se'ena. I'm waiting, I'm longing for the time when the Tzara's Erva of my daughter, meaning apparently, Rabbi Tarfon's brother had married his daughter. So I was waiting for the Tzara's Erva who come with me, I'll be able to marry her in Yibum. This is a Shiloh. What in the world does Rosh Hashanah bother? What does it mean? He's davening that Chas V'Shalom, that his brother should die, and therefore should come to him. What exactly the deeper kavanah is over here? He's just saying maybe in halacha, in theory. Now, so obviously, Yibum was done only according to Beit Shammai. So how could he say that I'm waiting for this point? So the Gemara says, no, Ema, that you should say, Ve'esa Ena. So we're rejecting this proof by saying, I'll marry her off to someone else. Rabbi Tarfon, wanted the Tzara's Erva to marry into without doing chalitza done by Beis Hillel, since it'd be permitted, and we're going to say that he was really doing like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, "Baha tevi ani kamar." He says, "I'm longing for it." Implies that he wanted to say a chiddush. Now, if he just wanted to let a taras erva remarry without doing chalitza, what's the chiddush over here? So the Gemara says, "No, there is taka chiddush." Lafukim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This would be excluding the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, maybe we should accommodate both of them by making you do chalitza. No, we'd allow him to remarry without doing chalitza. We're talking from assuming that we hold like Beis Hillel fully. So remember, doing a 360. We hold a retirement held. We thought maybe he was holding like a Bishamah. No, really, he's not holding Beit Hillel. No raya from over here. Says the Gemara, another raya. Tashma, another proof. Ma'isa bebitol shem Gamliel. There was a daughter of Rabbi Gamliel. So ha'isa nesuah la'iba la'aba achiv umeis below banim. Was married his brother. His name was Abba, who was his brother, and he died without any children. Yibim Rabbi Gamliel tzaras. Rabbi Gamliel did yibim with the tzara. So Rabbi Gamliel, this woman was tzaras erva, and he took her in yibim. This explanation must be that Rabbi Gamliel followed the shita Bishamah. He permitted doing yibim. So which Gemara says, what do you mean? What was this Havamin as a proof anyway? Tisbara Rabbi Gamliel, Matamide Beshamayo, Ella, Tisbara Rabbi Beshamayo, Rabbi Gamliel was really from the Beshamay? No, he was Mamish, a descendant straight from Hillel himself. He would have never followed Shita Beshamay. Ella Shani Bito Shabbat Gamliel, the Alanus Havas. So how did he possibly do a Tzara Serva? As we know that there's one case, the case is where the guy was married to two different people, and one of them, the marriage wasn't Chal, that was going to be an example where the islandess is, that's going to be an example where we would not say that there is any shaykhus to the first marriage, and therefore you're allowed to do the erva doesn't kick in. So therefore, shanibito shemagaliel, the islandess haver. Magaliel's daughter was an islandess, in which case we say lamafreya, the kiddushin is uprooted, and therefore an erva of an islandess, the thing is going to be putter. That's only when the erva is actually married, but this is the whole marriage is uprooted because she was an islandess in Megachtos. Therefore, his daughter was an islandess, and Magaliel was permitted to take the Taras Erva, the co-wife of his brother, even though normally that Taras Erva was his Izrakaris, but there, since the marriage was uprooted, Lamafreya, we assume that there was nothing there. Says the Gemara, but wait a second, how may the Katani Seifa? This also seems to be problematic, because Acherim Amrin Bitel Shemagamil, islandess Haisa. That Acherim said that no, the reason that he did it was is because she was an islandess in the Brisa. So now if Acherim are coming to comment on the Tanakama, that implies, Michal Tanakama, Savar Lav islandess Haisa, this implies that the Tanakama, the Brisa, maintains that she was not an islandess. So how could Rabbi Gamliel, again, what is Rabbi Gamliel going to be holding? So the Gemara was assuming that both according to Tanakama and Acherim, Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an islandess. So therefore, the Gemara was saying that this is the Machlokas. Hikar Mavalikar Vayikar Benayim. No. Did he recognize or did not recognize it? Was the Shiloh over here? According to the Tanakama, that with Tsaras Erva from Yibam was going to be Patr, even if she's an islandess, that the husband only was unaware that she was an islandess after he married her. In that case, his marriage to the islandess would automatically be annulled because of Mekartos. That's what we're assuming right now. The Achim explained that if the Erva was an islandess, she does not exempt the Tsaras Yibam, even if the husband, husband knew she was an islandess before he married her. In their shita, that was the case of Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, that when she said islandess haisa, which implies that her condition was always known, that not nimtzitano, she was islandess haisa. According to Nakama, Rabbi Gamliel discovered that islandess was only after she was married, so it seems to be that's the machlokas over here, whether he recognized it. So that could be the machlokas. So was it an islandess that they knew about before or not? That was the machlokas, but really everybody agreed if she didn't know about it, it would be allowed, Rabbi Gamliel would allow to get married. There's a nafkamina between them if they were married to the Taras Erva and subsequently divorced, meaning that we assumed that when Reuven was married to the daughter of Shimon, as well as to Leah, and then he divorces the daughter of Shimon before he dies, and then he dies. So this is a shaila according to the Tanakama. So that would hold that therefore she's going to be shaykh to Yibum because she's not when it comes tachlis, Reuven dies, he's no longer married to Shimon's daughter. So there's no shaila of Taras Erva only when they were first married. However, according to Achirim, they're understanding that Taras Erva is sufficient even from if they were at any point married, even if they're not actually dead, and that's the machlokas over here. That's the machlokas. Nothing, and they both and he follows Beis Hillel. So one, a third explanation. Another nafkamina is that when a person marries a woman, Rashi says, al tanai, that she doesn't have mumin or nadarim, and then he decides to marry her, and so then to find out that she had mumin or nadarim. So according to the Kama, that the tanai is valid, and therefore it's a mekachtos, and he wasn't married to her at all, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel is able to marry the tzara of an erva. Another, but the Achim understanding that no, that there's, they hold like the other shita, based on the Gemara Ksubas, that in Parakamadir, that we say, Enadam Oseh Bilas Bilas Nus, that a person never wants his, every relationship that he had would be out of wedlock to have a Bias Nus. That's totally not Shayach for him. So therefore we say that he was Gomar Belibo and he was Mochel the Tanai when he gets married. So that's the Shaila over here. That's the Machlokas between the Tanai, and that's how we can explain this Shita over here. So now so the Gemara says, right, so that we've rejected this Raya. So now the Gemara says, Meisir Rav Masharsha, how could we say that Beis Shammai followed their own sheet? The Meisir Rav Akiva, once happened to Rav Akiva, Shilikit Esrog Be'echad B'Shvat. He picked, it has to be multiple fruits. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah explains, if it's just one fruit, you put there from Meisir. It has to be multiple fruits from an Esrog tree, and the first of Shvat. And he was machmir for two different, you gave Meisir Sheni in Meisir Ani. Again, you have one, two, four, five, you give Meisir Sheni, and years three, three and six, you give Meisir Ani. So it was a year that was like between two and three. So now the shaila is, when is the, we know Tu B'Shvat Hagiya Chagli, no, that's because that's when the Zman of the new Zman of the Meisters kick in according to Shitas Beis Hillel. However, Beis Shammai held Echad B'Shvat. Echad Kedivri Beis Shammai, Echad Kedivri Hillel. So he was Machmir for both to give Meisir Sheni and Meisir Ani from the fruit to be Machmir for both Beis Shammai who hold that, so let's say it was the previous year was the second year, so then we were going to be Machmir for Beis Shammai that it was going to be first of Shvat, so you really should have given Meisir, you should have really given Meisir Ani. So then you'd give Meisir Ani, that's Shitas Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai though, according to Beis Beis Samai, according to Beis Hillel, he should be giving only for the previous year, which would be Meiser Sheni. Again, Beis Hillel, Meiser Sheni, Beis Samai in our example, should be giving Meiser Ani. The Echad gives Beis Hillel to be Machmir for both Shitas. Mami, now, so we see from here, though, also that Beis Samai did act according to their own Shita in this example of here, because he was Machmir for Shitas Beis Samai. So Rabbi Kiva was following Beis Samai. So why over here is Rabbi Kiva following Beis Hillel? So that would be the Shailam. Is being extra machmir, that's a havmin over here. So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Kiva, Gemara is topic late. Rabbi Kiva followed Beis Hillel and Gantin. He has his own Masorah, he wasn't sure who said what. He wasn't sure who said what. Did Beis Shammai Taka say the one? Were they the ones who said that it's the first of Shvat? Did they say 15th of Shvat? Or was it Beis Hillel said first of Shvat and not Beis Shammai? And therefore he was machmir for both. Rabbi Kiva does not show anything about following Shita's Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says another Shita. Rabbi Zurta said the following Mishnah. Maisa v'yalta kalasa shel Shammai azaken. It once happened that the daughter of Shammai gave birth, and she was in bed. And Shammai removed the top of the roof covering over her head. The famous Gemara Mitzuka, and he does a Mishnah Mitzuka, and he places chak above the head of the child, so that the child, even from the young age, right away, should be shayach to the din derabanan of chinuch. According to Beis Hillel, it's only when in a Torah Leima he's able to be around by himself. That's what's defined. Shammai was machmir to show that even when Tzarech Lima was going to be shayach to the chinuch of having to do sukkah. So what do we see? Shma minasu, that was the Shammai acted according to their own shita, and they're machmir. Tosafos just point out over here that here mekan mashma man damar lo asu afilo echad of Shammai lechumra vid. Here is just a total chumra, and this havmin over here. So that's a very big shaila. When you're just doing a chumra, is there really a problem of doing a chumra like Beis Shammai? Tosafos is a medayik over here that according to one who says loa, so even when it's just a chumra, it would be not a problem. That's a little bit of a problem with the famous answer for Rabbi Kiva Eger in Brachos. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is bothered by Akasha. We quoted a story that the story in the beginning of Brachos, where the story of Rabbi Tarfon, when he says that he lied down to follow the Shita Beis Shammai, and he was Chayiv Misa, the Gemara says, you got what you deserved. He was robbed. He ended up being robbed of everything he had, and the Gemara says, you were Chayiv Misa for violating Beis Hillel. Yet the Gemara later relates, and I think it's in the 8th parak, the Gemara later, the 6th parak, remember, when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, that is Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. If somebody washed, he ate, and he forgot to bench, and he left already somewhere else. So does he have to go back to the original place where he washed to bench? According to Beis Hillel, he does not. If he left on purpose, he would. But if he forgot, he really was onus, and then he left, you could just bench where he is right now. And according to Beis Shammai, you go back. So Gemara relates a story that someone was machmir for Shita Beis Shammai, ended up being rewarded. He found like a golden pouch over there, and he got rewarded by having gold and being rewarded for following Beis Shammai. So Rabbi Kiva asks Akasha, how does that relate to the first parak where we say they're chayiv misa? So Rabbi Kiva gives the idea that when something is kol kulo chumra, it would be okay to follow Shita's Beis Shammai, maybe even recommended. The Gemara says that you get a schar for that based on the Gemara over there, where it's fundamentally a difference in understanding. Like according to Beis Shammai, you're supposed to be lying down. According to Beis Hillel, no, it means nighttime. It's a different, a lack of understanding, to which case you're going to come to a different conclusion. Like lighting 8 candles the first night of Hanukkah, that is something which fundamentally is different. It's not a chumrah, it's just being something wrong. According to Beis Hillel, if it's just kokolo chumrah, it'd be nice. So here, according to this Gemara, though, the Gemara is assuming, at least in this Havamina, that even just doing a chumrah, the Gemara was assuming would be a problem if you really weren't supposed to be following Beis Shammai. It's a little bit of a tarachin on Rabbi Kiva Eger's answer. Either way, so Gemara says Hasam. So what in that case we can answer? Haroa Omer Lapushe Avir Kaavir. The one who sees Shammai doing it, it's even this case, it's a chumrah that people don't really understand. It's not a problem. So therefore, there's not an issue of losses to go to, because people are just, the onlooker is going to see that he was just doing it to get more air. His air, it was very stuffy in there, and it wasn't anything to do with the sukkah, and therefore, it's not a problem of losses to go to. Again, that was the original question we had with this idea of losses to go to, that over here, apparently, it would not apply. This apparently, also, this answer is disagreeing with the whole concept that Abaye Rava that said that losses to go to doesn't apply to Machlokas B'Shamay Zillel. According to this question, the Gemara assumes that maybe it would be. So now the Gemara continues another kasha. The Yo is a water trough. That was a water trough they used to have, and it was a hollow stone that was beneath a pipe that had water going by a nearby mountain, as Rashi explains. Vaisa nekuva lemikvah, and there it was connected to a hole through a mikvah. There's a concept in a mikvah, almost all mikvahs that we have nowadays are relying on this, that a mikvah that's 40 saw obviously is kasher. What if also, and you connect that mikvah to water that's not necessarily, that's just filled up with mainly mayim shuvim, and it's just connected through what's called hashaka. Hashaka is that they're combining the two bodies of water into one, that the sheik literally is kissing, that they're touching each other. The meaning of the water, that there's a pipe, there's a hole from one end to the other end, and that's connecting the mikvah. So the halacha is that that's considered all, it's one mikvah, and it's going to be a kasher mikvah. So here, There's a shayla, how big does the hole have to be between Misham and Mesillah? That's the machlokas over here. It's just important to note that this is, you should realize that that's almost every mikvah that you have is a woman's mikvah. We either do bor, galay bor, maybe both. We do both chumras. We have both. That we connect them through hashaka, though. The mikvah water that you're going into, because they filter it and they do all this stuff to it, a lot of times that's not the main body of water. Where really the ikr mikvah is somewhere next to it. And that place of water is connected. You always see a hole, that hole that constantly has water going through it. That's because that's how the mikvah is being is done through hashaka. Anyway, go back to over here. So what happened? They had this hole. It was Haisa Nekuva LeMikvah. It was connected through this hole to a mikvah through Hashaka, as we just mentioned. And V'chol Tarosh HaYibishalayim Nasin HaGaba, and all the Tarosh HaShalayim were prepared on this. V'shalchu Beit Shammai V'erchivu, and Beit Shammai sent and widened it out. Sh'Beit Shammai Old, because Beit Shammai Old, Ad She'ipaches Beruba, until its greater part is broken. Beit Shammai are more machmir on what is a valid Hashaka. Beit Shammai Old, it has to be that the greater part of the whole wall has to be missing, and that area, not just a small hole like Beit Silal hold of, and so they opened it up. So the Gemara says now, Utnan, and we learn from the Mishnah, Erev Mikvahs, Kishur Farisanod, Be'ovi Avachala, the Stam Mishnah tells us, like Beishamai, is that just the size of a tube, the standard size, that's going to be enough to be the two mikvahs that are connected to adjacent them, that's more than enough, if it's big enough. So much smaller than that. Kishtei Etzbo is a shear of only two, finger breadths, Chozer Slim Koman, which is equivalent to the area of two fingers that can rotate. So again, that's much, much smaller than the Shita of Beishamai. And Beishamai was Machmir against Beishila, and they opened the mikvah to follow their own Shita. Shmami now, so we have a riot from over here that they did like their Shita. So that's the Gemara now, awesome. In that case, also turning on to next one, that's what I'm going to do is, Haroeh Omer Lapushe Maya Hu Deka Avid. The one who sees this Beishamai doing it, he's just saying that he wants to make more water. He wants to make a bigger water trough, and therefore it's not going to be like they're following their own Shita in the face of Beis Hillel, because you don't really notice what you are what you're doing over here. So that's what the Gemara would say. So I by the way, just to answer Rabbi Kiva Eger, I want to give an answer, is that maybe you could explain that Rabbi Kiva Eger obviously agreed to this concept that only allowed to follow Beishamai where it's not Nikr necessarily. Even if it's Kol Kulo Chumra, you'd have to add in that point. I don't think Rabbi Kiva Eger said it though. You'd have to add in that's also not Nikr. So therefore, when you go back, so a guy could say he left something there. That it's not nikkur necessarily that you're following because of Gufa, Shitas, Bishami are being Machmer, and that's why there'd be a Mila to doing that, and it wouldn't be in the face of Beis Hillel. You'd have to make that Akimta as well. Now going back to over here, the Gemara says, now Tashma, we go back to the Braisa. Damar Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadok, Kshayisi Leimet Eretz Rabbi Yochanan Achorani, or learned by Rabbi Yochanan Achorani, Raisi Shaya Ocha Pas Chariv Melech Bishnei Batzores. He was eating dry bread and salt in a period of drought. There wasn't a lot of food, and there was no food, it was a famine and a drought. Basi Vadatis Abba, I went and told my father Rabbi Yochanan that he had so little to eat, that Rabbi Yochanan had so little to eat. He told my father that Rabbi Yochanan had very little to eat. Amar Lei Holech Lozesim, he said, go take for him olives. Olachti Lo, I brought him a whole thing of olives. Ra'osan Shein Lachin, he saw that they were wet, and he was afraid they'd become tame. Rabbi Yochanan was makbid on eating chulin betara. We know that a chaver would eat chulin betara, even there, not just a kohen, but a chaver would want to eat chulin betara. Rabbi Yochanan was worried that maybe an amaretz touched the outside, according to Rashi, the outside of the container, it's a shayla, but it's a kecharet, so from the outside doesn't touch anything. That's a shayla achorna. But lamaisa, we're afraid that amaretz touched it in a state where it was wet, was subject to tumah, and something which is wet, we know, because the pasuk says v'chit on ma'ayis malzera, it's able to be mekabel tumah from then on. So Amar Li Anachanil Chozesim, he said to me, I don't eat olives out of respect for him. He didn't want to eat it. Basi v'dati asab, I told my father, Rabbi Yochanan said, Amar Li Lechem Melech Chavis Nekuva, I said, go tell him that the jug was open at the bottom, unless it's mushmarim, and I plugged it up. And by doing that, Rabbi Tzadok was demonstrating they didn't want the water that was dripping out of it. If you don't want the chiyut on mayim alzera, one of the main conditions is that you want the actual water that's falling on it in order to be mekabel tuma, is that you wanted the water that fell on it to actually come on it. And if you didn't want it, then it's not subject to mekabel tuma anymore. So therefore, he was telling him, I didn't want the water. So what the Gemara says now, utnan chavish alzizim el gugalim, if a jug with soft olives in it, they had softened somewhat, and they were packed tightly, and they left there for some time, according to Rashi. So now, Beishamai Omrim Ein Tzricha Lenakev. You do not need to, it does not need to be opened. Uveisila Omrim Tzricha Lenakev. You have to open a hole in it. In this case, Beisila will say that the sap is considered olive oil, and therefore it's going to be settled to Tumah unless you actually perform an action over here. But they agree that if you opened it, the jug, and you put it inside of it, something, it's going to be tar. Tzadok was a Talmud of Shammai. He was machmir for all the shitas of Beis Hillel, where they are more machmir. So says the Gemara now. So Yemar Bishlam Asu. Now, if you didn't tell me that Beis Shammai would actually keep their shitas, and in even when they're arguing on shitas Beis Hillel, and so here they're being more mekil, so I understand. I would say that's the chiddush of Rabbi Tzadok, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai and Shammai, and yet he followed the shita Beis Hillel to be machmir like Beis Hillel. Yelamet Lo Asu. If you say that all the shitas of Beis Shammai, even the times before the Baskel, they didn't actually keep their halacha because the Beis Hillel was the rove, then my Revuse, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Tzadok? He's following all the Talmud of Beis Shammai that have to be machmir for Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel are the majority. So therefore, we over here, the Brisa proved that Beit Shammai actually kept their shitas, and we see from here that was the Chiddush of Beit Tzadok and Echanami, that he was the one who specifically was machmer for Beit Shammai, where Beis Hillel, but not everyone else who followed Beit Shammai was, they kept to their own shitas. Says the Gemara, now another proof. Tashma said, that was a good proof. We finally brought a proof that accepts that Beit Shammai kept to their own shitas. Says the Gemara, now Tashma, we learn another proof. Shalom is Rabbi Yeshua, they ask Rabbi Yeshua, Tzara Sabas Ma, what is the halacha regarding a Tzara Sabas? Is one allowed to take her in Yibam like shitas Beit Shammai? Amar Lahem, he said, Machloke Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel, it's Machloke Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel. And he said further, Halacha Tevremi, who do we follow? Amar Lahem, Minimata Machris and Roshi Ben Arim HaGadoylim, what are you putting my heads between two great mountains, Ben Shtim Machlokas Gadoylas, between two great shitas, Ben Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel, what are you making me pick between the two? So he was not sure whether the halacha follows Beit Shammai or Beis Hillel, and he was saying, I don't know, Misari Anish Shammai Yaratsu Gilgosi, and also if I'm Haskin, I'm afraid that they might crush my skull literally. He's afraid that if he rules in favor of Beis Hillel, who say that Atzaras Erva is going to be in the Sarkaris, so anybody who did that would be Chayiv Mams, would be a Mamzerus, and then those Mamzer would then want to kill him. Like, look at this Kanai, he just said, I'm a Mamzer, and it would start attacking him. But let me tell you that there's two prominent families that are in Yerushalayim. Mishpachas Beit Tzivoi ben Achmai, the family Beit Tzivoi who came from Achmai, and Mishpachas Beit Kofai ben Mekoshesh. Beit Kofai who came from Ben Mekoshesh. Shayam ben Tzaros, they were descendants from Tzaras Erva, who married without Chalitza, Umeyahim Kano Gulam Shimshal Agamizbech, and they had Koran and Gedolim. They were not objected by any people of Beit Shammai. The Gemara is going to ask, why do you have to add that point? Even according to Beit Shammai, who say that Tzaras Erva is Asar to marry without Chalitza, if she does, she only is her love, and their children would be shaykh to be able to marry them. That's the Gemara is going to ask that. But let's see. So the Gemara now brings the end of the proof. The Gemara says now, Iyamret Beit Shammai, so you're going to tell me that Beit Shammai did according to their shita, hide the Kamri Meserin. That's why he said, I'm afraid that those who are going to be Mamzerim are going to try to kill me. Because they did, they previously kept the halacha, and now they're going to be halacha, they're going to rule like Beit Shammai. Now they're Mamzerims. And Iyamret lost to. If you're going to tell me Beit Shammai did not act according to their shita, am I Kermitani? What was he afraid of? There's nothing to be afraid of. There was no Mamzerim because they didn't keep their shita. They kept like Beis Hillel. So says the Gemara, no, maybe, Unihin Ami Da'asu Mesiari Ani. So now, even if you say that Beit Shammai, he says he's going to be afraid of those, the Mamzerim are going to try to kill him. Ha'amar Rabbi Yeshua, Ein Mamzer Ela Mechavi Misos Beisim. But Lashitaso is a problem. Rabbi Yeshua holds later on, we're going to get to this, the whole side of the different Tanaim, who hold different shitas, what creates an Isser Mamzerus, or the product of Mamzerus, what Isser? What Isser has to be, some Kiva holds Chayve Lavin, other holds Chayve Krisus, he holds only an Isser Misa. So not even, so even here is a Sarah, if a Tzara's Erva, and Tzara's Erva is only going to be an Isser Kares, and that not enough according to Bishua, he's not going to be Chayav Mamzerus. According to Bishua himself, a Mamzer would not be a problem. So therefore, even if Beit Shammai did allow the Yibam of Tzara's Erva, according to Bishua, it doesn't create Mamzerus. So why was he afraid of them yelling at him that they're going to Mamzerim? They weren't Mamzerim. So the Gemara says, Nihi Nami de Mamzer Lavik, granted that the child coming from there would not be a Mamzer, Pagum Mihu Hava. It would still be disqualified from Ka'una, because if the child is a girl, Rashi says, she'd be usher to marry a Kohen or to eat Shruma. There's a Shiloh, what does Rashi hold about a boy? Some say that Rashi holds that, when it comes to his son, Rashi seems to hold, that only specifically female. Others hold that no, that applies to sons and daughters alike. According to Rashi, that's whole shaila. So either way, it's a pagam kuna. Mikava chomer me'almana. There's a kava chomer from the argument from an almana who marries a kohen gadol. Me'almana she'in yisrael nag bakol. And it's who's asher to marry almana? Only one person in the world. The kohen gadol is asher to marry an almana. So bena pagam, her son from a kohen gadol is going to be pagam and not shayach to kuna. The story says almana leikav v'leichal zaro. That if the kohen gadol does marry them, it would be possible from kuna. So that's going to be banakah. Zo, she search up a cold. When it comes to this woman, the Tzara's Erva, who is a widow, the one's brother, is going to be usher to everybody who's in that case. Obviously, you should assume that there's going to be a pogrom by the children, and therefore the daughter would be usher to marry a kohen. Maybe the son also be possible. That's the shayla in Rishonim, in the Achronim, about what she does Rashi. But definitely the daughter would be possible, and she would be usher to marry a kohen. So therefore, we see at this point. So the Gemara now says, Kabal minei Tzara's. They asked about, that's what the question we're going to mention though. They asked about, Tzara's Erva, Vakapashit Lehu, Bnei Tzara's, he explained about the children of a Tzara's Erva. They asked what seems to be relevant to the question. He had a different question. He is going to be answering a different question. So the Gemara is going to flesh out now. So the Gemara says now, Tarte Kabayle. They asked him two questions. First question, Tzara's Mai, what's the halacha with regards to Tzara's Erva? Do we accept Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai? Second question, Vintuzumar Tzara's Ke Beis Hillel, we hold like Beis Hillel, Bnei Tzara's to Beis Hillel, Le Beis Shammai Mayu. The children of a Tzara, according to Beis Shammai, what is their status? What is their status? Tzara's Erva, according to Tzara's of an Isser Daraisa, who they marry, and they did without Chalitza. What's the status of the children according to Beit Shammai? Is it Lechachli for them to marry them, even a Koyanim, or not? So Gemara says, L'may Nafkamina, what's the difference though? Once we follow Beis Hillel, what does it care? What do we care that Beit Shammai held, Bidas Beis Hillel?
Where's it? No, Velishet Vlad Mamsik Rasul Lebis Hillel. To answer this, because if we know Bechamay Hel, it's Saka Pasul from Kahuna, so then we would be able to answer anybody who marries a lav, like someone who's master krusasa, which is an iser daraisa. And if a person goes ahead and decides to remarry his divorced wife after she remarried someone else, so then, and he has children, are those daughters, let's say, puzzle for marrying a kohen or not? So the Gemara says, so we know that answer from if Bishamai Taka held that Isser Dereis over there would be possible for marrying Kuna, that the result of that, those children would be also for marrying Kuna, then here also would be also for marrying Kuna. So Gemara says, Mikar Minan Kavachomer, do we apply the Kavachomer? Ma, Mana, the Kohen Gadol, Shinishon Shavakol, and the Mana that's Kohen Gadol is not Usher, it's only Usher to a Kohen Gadol, still, but now Pagam is Usher to marry a Kohen. Zosh Shinishon Shavakol, this case, where everybody is Usher to marry an Isser of his divorced wife who married somebody else. So then, Eno Din Shibana Pagam, so isn't obviously going to be that the Bana is going to, the child coming out of that marriage, the daughter, is Usher to marry Kuna? So you could say that no, that a widow herself, where the Torah describes her, to say that she herself becomes a chalala. Therefore, the fact that the child comes out of there makes sense that she should not be able to marry a kohen. However, when it comes to divorced wife, she's not going to be mischalalas when she remarries that person, as Rashi explains, because she's already divorced. It's already that she's already divorced, so she's not already possible to marry a kohen. She's not going to be possible from truma. She's not going to be bias chayv elavin el bazar etzlami kara. This is only going to be the amana marrying kohen gadol. She's going to be possible from truma. However, this case would not be possible from truma, so it's a stronger case. So the Gemara says, "Amar lehu tzaras misyari ani." So he was responding to them. He says, "Afraid that the descendants might try to kill me." Rabbi Shua was afraid that to rule in favor of his hillel, that the tzaras erva may not be taken even because the children of any such marriages would have taken place, according to Bishamai, would there be something which is punishable by Karis, even though they wouldn't be Mamzerim, even according to Bishua, they would still be Pasul from Kehuna. And turning on to the next. Someone now, the Gemara says, B'nei Tzaras, Ani Ma'ed Lachem, and regarding the question about the B'nei Tzaras, I'm telling you that there was two families that was going back to that question, that were descendants of Tzaras Arayas, who remarried and married the Koyan of Gedolim on his behalf, and therefore Beis Hillel, they're going to be Bogum. The answer is, they did not protest to that. This proves that according to Bishamai, if Tzaras Erva, if you do marry the Tzaras Erva, which they required to do, either even Chalisa for, they would not be, kasher to marry Kohanim, because if it would be so, then how could they have the Kohen Gedolim? So therefore, we learn from here that there would be a kasher to be Kohanim Gedolim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tashma in tomorrow's daf.